Oh, Murray keeps it. Murray being chased by Witherspoon. Oh. Floats for Wilson. Off target to Kobe Bryant. And there goes Kobe Bryant. With a house call for Seattle. And a Marshawn Lynch homage.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
Kobe Bryant finally making his way to Chicago, this time with the Bears. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on 104.3 The Score. Sean Sears producing today, hanging out with you till 5 in the morning. That's when we hand it off to Dustin Rhodes on the pregame show, who will in turn hand it over to Mullion Hall. They got some great guests lined up for you today. Of course, Brad Biggs at 7. Coach Wonstadt at 8:25. Mike Florio at 9 o'clock. Then Bruce Levine at 9:25. But right now, we're taking these phone calls, man. Bears free agency, Bulls in flux, Cubs, Sox trying to do their thing, World Baseball Classic going on. So many things to talk about. Just letting you guys talk about whatever you want. So let's go out to Richard out in St. Charles, my night hour. Richard, what's up, brother?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Gabe?
Hanging in there, man. All right, talk to me.
Good.
About these compensatory picks, because, you know, I'm pissed. You're going to rile me up, Richard, already. Just so you know.
Me too. You know, when you think about what is a lateral move, okay, is he getting similar pay? Probably not. Is his status or job title changed? Of course it's changed. Is the responsibility different? So I just don't see how we don't get those picks.
It's unbelievable, and it's malpractice. It is, you know, you can't put a rule in place and then try to, I don't know. Because it just, everyone seems to be on the side. Even Caleb Williams tweeted about it. Did you see that?
No, I didn't catch that.
Oh, my God. He tweeted Matt Ryan saying with his own words what Ian Cunningham's role would be. He tweeted it out. Caleb Williams did.
So, I mean, what's the reasoning by the NFL? Did they give a reasoning?
Well, I think ultimately what they're saying is that, you know, the decision maker, the ultimate decision maker is going to be Matt Ryan and not Ian Cunningham. And so that to me is what my biggest takeaway was. And so therefore they're calling it a lateral move in that you'll be operating under someone and not ahead of them.
Okay.
It's terrible. It's a crappy rule. Oh, it's a crappy ruling. You know, I think to me, Richard, the biggest, you know, slap in the face is that, you know, these are guys that, you know, these are potential picks that could have been starters on the Bears team, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really what it is. It's like these, you're missing out on starters, not just role players, but starters. And when guys like Drew Dahlman retire and you have to make cap cuts for Tremaine Edmonds and such, it's like those picks become that much more valuable.
Of course. And you know, I don't even look at it as the picks. I look at it as you know, you put this in there for a reason, for developing minority talent, right? And now it's gone. Right. So what's the point, right?
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous and it's extremely frustrating. You know, if the Bears had qualified under that diversity development rule, then they would have got third round picks. You know, I thought it was 2 in 1 year, but it's in 2026 and then in 2027. I mean, imagine that. Imagine trading any player, like any player, right? Let's say we would have traded Tremaine Edmonds when he was looking for a trade partner. And then all of a sudden they said, yeah, we're going to give you 2 third-round picks for Tremaine Edmonds. You'd be like, oh, my God. I cannot believe the Bears have 2 third-round picks. And so the league's reasoning, again, is that the Falcons lists Matt Ryan as its primary football executive. So Cunningham's move, this is according to NFL.com, was not treated as the kind of qualifying top decision maker promotion that triggers the picks. That is bull.
I know.
And you
I
can
know.
Fill in the rest of the word.
I know. Well, thank you, Gabe. And you have a wonderful evening.
No problem.
Love listening to you. And your daughters sound great.
Oh, they're amazing. They'll be doing radio pretty soon.
I have much older daughters.
How old are your daughters?
Same thing. So I have one 18. She has special needs. Uh-huh. And then I've got a 17-year-old as well.
Oh, two daughters. Oh, yeah. Are they
two
besties?
And a son.
Oh, how old is the son?
So the son's 12.
Okay, so you have the gap there, the five-year gap, Richard. As a dad of three, I have a 5-year gap too. That's why, right? I have a 5-year gap between my oldest and my youngest. But even I'm like, okay, so this is a good one. How has the son, you know, it's different because it's boys and girls, but how has the son, you know, obviously I know when they were younger, they were all kind of playing together because that's how mine are right now. My oldest loves my baby. But how did that, when was the year that kind of broke off? Give me that.
I would say probably when high school.
So when the girls got into high school, then it kind of,
that's when it started to break in. Yeah, because other than that, and then they still connect.
Yeah.
Like, they still connect.
Okay, here's another one I got for you.
I think high school was, go ahead.
Here's another one I got for you. So when the two were in high school, does the 12-year-old, the boy, is that, how does that, because, you know, you had the 17 and the 18-year-old playing together. You know what I'm saying? And then you got the 12-year-old by yourself. And I'm concerned about that too, because I have the 5-year gap. So were you now focused on the 12-year-old? They kind of kept themselves busy? Or is that the baby of the house? Is that one going to be there till they're 30?
I think it was kind of mom with the girls and me with the boy.
Ah.
Because the sports they did, the dance they did, I think we kind of separated. And then we kind of cross over to make sure that, you know, everybody, we're seeing everybody's,
whether
it's violin or sports or whatever it may be. So
I love it. Okay, all right. Thanks for that. Hey, I need pro tips, right, Richard. So I'm glad you're telling me all this stuff right now. But I appreciate it, all right?
Thanks, Dave.
Of course. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on 104.3 The Score. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We got Dee Dee out to talk about some double D, my bad. To talk about some Bears and some Bulls. Talk to me, man. What's on your mind?
Well, sir, I just want to say good morning / good evening. Thank you kindly for having me on.
Of course. Hey, my night owl in the building. That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Trying to hype you up, bro. You was looking for it, you know. So I mean,
I was.
Anyway, whatever. Obviously, I'm excited about the new Bears signings, but at the same time, like, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, it's a lot of hype, and frankly, Brian Poles has not been particularly great at some of his free agent signings. I mean, last year, I got it. But I think that had a lot to do with Ben Johnson's mindset. So do you think that we're heading in the right direction? Or, I mean, like, on paper, it looks fantastic. But, I mean, do you think we're going to see the fruition?
Yeah, I think there's a directive here, right, Dee Dee? And it is that the Bears realized that their defense was not as good as it needed to be. And I think, right. I think everybody could see that. And, but you had guys that you liked, but you felt like you can get more productivity out of, right? So you like Kevin Byard. You love the fact that he had a ton of interceptions, but was he impacting winning the way that you wanted him to? You like Tremaine Edmonds, but was he impacting winning the way that you wanted him to and was a difference maker? So I think when you're asking me, what do I think? I think they made the necessary upgrades at those positions. When you're watching the Super Bowl, when you're looking at the Patriots and you were looking at Seattle, those defenses were way better than the Chicago Bears. And we think that the Bears defense is good. So how do you fix that gap, right? How do you shorten that gap? Well, you got to make upgrades. And as Ryan Poles was saying, Dee Dee, it sucks because you grow a bond with guys once you start winning, just like they did with Tremaine and Kevin. But sometimes you got to move on from them, right? Jaquan Brisker also. But sometimes you got to move off from because they're good, but you need to be a little bit better. And I think that's what they're doing right now.
Increased altitude, so to speak.
Exactly.
So here's my question. So the Bulls basically decimated their entire team, correct?
True.
And I've seen their core, like basically their only two decent, well, better than average players.
Giddy and Modest.
Back. Yes, correct. You know, I expect him to probably be hurt or not really playing for the rest of the year. Who do you think of the guys that we got that we keep?
It's a great question. I think I was talking about this yesterday on the Chicago Lead. Sorry, I was drinking some water. And you know, the Bulls were given four guards, right? Anthony Simons, Jaden Ivey, Rob Dillingham, and Colin Sexton. And the hope was that one of them could stick around. And I think quickly it became obvious that Anthony Simons was the guy who was a bucket, and that, you know, he proved his point. You don't need him to play anymore. You're the best of the four. But then with everybody else, you know, Rob Dillingham, he's a little too erratic for me. He's like all over the place. He's like, might hit a three-pointer, might hit a layup, might make a nice pass, might turn the ball over, might throw it out of bounds, might, you know, just do something crazy. So I don't necessarily like that kind of basketball. It's too unpredictable. Colin Sexton, on the other hand, not just because he hit 7 three-pointers the other day or because he put up 28 points, but when you're talking about having depth on a team and creating a new culture where there are standards, and like if Colin Sexton is the floor of the Chicago Bulls, that's great. And so keeping him around to be the floor, now follow me here. You got guys like Dalen Terry that you traded, Julian Phillips, like those second tier, like not even those third tier guys that you got the tail end of your bench. They need to look at Colin Sexton and be like, damn, I am not going to be in the league. I'm not going to be on this roster unless I'm better than Colin Sexton. And because Colin Sexton is the ninth best player or eighth best player on this team. And so if I'm not better than Colin Sexton, like I need to step my game up. And because Colin Sexton is capable of going in a game and hitting 7 threes. Colin Sexton is capable of putting 28 points on the board. Colin Sexton is capable of affecting the game and affecting winning. So I think he's, when you ask me who do you think they'll keep, I think it's Colin Sexton because he exemplifies that. Right. And I think that's what the Bulls need. They didn't have enough of that. They had too many Patrick Williams and not enough Colin Sextons, guys that love the game and want to play. You know what I'm saying? Double D.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. I'm watching the games and I'm trying to be like, whoa.
Yeah. Who's your favorite player? Who's your favorite player out of those guys?
Like who's really doing anything? You had a couple of like people like, shoot, when Io was in, it was like you knew what was going to go down, you know? And now it's like, I'm not sure.
I couldn't have said it better.
You know, I'm like, maybe. And then here's my other next question is, do you think they're just going to go in the tank for the rest of the year?
Oh, they've been in the tank, my friend. Since
well,
the
I know they've been in the tank. But I mean, do you think they're going to go for the rest of the year in the tank? And then who do you think in college basketball would be the reason why they're in the tank?
Yeah, I think there's a like at least four solid NBA ready players at the top of the draft. And so I think when you're looking at, you know, for me personally, like who I think is going to be the top for the Bulls, I like AJ DeBonsta. That's my dude. I think let me be very clear. I am not making the comparison between him and LeBron, but the comparison about the hype that follows you and then it's come out and still play at a high level, right? And still dominate at the college ranks says a lot. Darren Peterson, I don't care what anybody says about him. He is a baller. And, you know, another one, Cam Boozer and Caleb Wilson. Those four guys, you know, if they're to come out, because Darren Peterson over here talking about he might go back to Kansas for the NIL money. But if those four guys come out, the Bulls would be lucky to get any of those four guys. Because what you ultimately want is, listen, everybody in the draft is going to be good, right? Because it's just the NBA. You're going to get good players. But in every draft, there are those that are better than those guys. Better than the good guys. And the hope is to secure one of those. And I think at the top four, if the Bulls got any of those dudes, because the Bulls are still a couple years away from being good. So you got to, you know, stockpile the talent like the Oklahoma City Thunder did, right? When they got Chet Holmgren, when they had, you know, all these guys, Jalen Williams. And so when you bring those guys in, you got to, you know, continue to pile them up. And hopefully the Bulls can get to that point. You know what I'm saying, Double D?
That. All right. I totally 100% on that. Switch gears. I don't know. I mean, it's okay if I have a little bit. So have you been watching the WBC at all?
Of course. I'm Puerto Rican. Team Puerto Rico all the way. Los Rubios.
Holy smokes. I'm just going to say, I've been telling all my friends, I'm like, man, I really was kind of like, I was off on it. And I started watching it. And I literally, like, every game's like the World Series.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, whether you're Team Israel or Team whatever, like, they're trying. And the you know what I love the most about it? Is the celebration.
Yeah.
You know, when they get the double, they on second base going bananas.
Yeah, they had, I don't know if you've seen Team Mexico or not. They ended up having the luchador mask for all their home runs that they hit. It's been kind of cool. Hey, Double D, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate you chiming in. You are the night owl of night owls, especially today. You become an honorary captain of the night owls by helping us out today on a Tuesday, my brother.
I know you're going to let me bounce, but I have a daughter who's 11 who's very similar to your four-year-old daughter.
Love it.
And gets more exciting.
It gets more exciting? Oh, that's good to hear. I love that.
Well, I say that with trepidation.
Fair enough. I'm here for it, though, I'll tell you. Thanks for the call, Double D. Appreciate you. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 104.3 The Score. It was so interesting because Friday on the Chicago Lead, myself, David Hall, Ruthie Polinsky, we were asked with ranking, like the top March events. And so it was like, you know, NFL free agency, MLB, I don't even remember what.
Just like training camp or like spring training.
Yeah. MLB opening day, that's what it was. MLB opening day.
That's true, that is at the end of March.
WBC, March Madness, NFL free agency, and one other one that I can't remember. But both Ruthie and David had the WBC at the bottom. And I had it up there. You know, Team Puerto Rico, we're going crazy.
Yeah, they're super fun.
And so I was like, guys, you guys are tripping. I don't know what you're talking about. WBC is way, way more interesting than any of those things. And then today on the show, the producers wrote it in where we were talking to Chuck Garfine and Brooke Fletcher. They were out in Arizona. Sox take down the Rockies and we're throwing it to them. We're having a conversation with them. And my question that the producer wrote for me was, David and Ruthie had zero interest in the WBC. Obviously, a lot of Sox players out there, you know, do you guys have something to say about that? And Chuck literally just like derails the segment and is like, wait. You guys don't like the WBC? Like, throws it. Like, this is like not. Listen, behind the curtains. TV 101 with a delay. The last thing you do is throw it back. Like, you need to go for like 2 or 3 minutes and then finish. And then we get it. You don't go. You don't do the back and forth because there's a delay there. Anyway, Chuck throws it back to them. And then all of a sudden, Ruthie's like, you know what? After this weekend, my mind has changed after seeing all these games. And David's like, yeah, there's no doubt about it. You're watching these games, and this means a lot more to the players than I anticipated. And he throws it back to Chuck. And I'm like, this just got awkward. Like, this whole thing has gotten weird.
They just watched the WBC, man.
I mean, listen. So the WBC, you know, I try to listen. And this is for my, and I will speak clearly here, for my non-baseball, right? For those of you that are basketball, hockey, football, and specifically, I want to be specific here, to my white guys that are out there, my white homies. And listen, I get it. America, you know what I'm saying? Like, football, baseball, right? Like, we're here. And on the world stage, the WBC may not mean a lot to you, right? Like, the World Cup in soccer might not mean a lot to you. But these teams... And you saw here, white guys bring you back in. Team USA, the hockey team. How much they love representing their country. And that's the difference, right? Like, guys like that, especially because, and this is me speaking as an American, we get so accustomed to just being the best at everything. Right? Like me, I think if I'm watching the Olympics, every time I'm watching the Olympics, I'm just thinking American's going to win. Because I feel like we just have the best talent everywhere. And it gets boring in that sense. And the things that we're not good at, soccer, right? We don't care about. It's very on brand for human nature. We care about what we're good at. We don't care about what we're not good at. And when it comes to soccer, nobody's paying attention, but it's one of the biggest. The World Cup is the biggest global tournament in the world. And then this WBC, the reason why there's parallels between the two, and even you can talk about the Olympics and sports, is that just like in the World Cup, these guys, these players, they can play for the biggest teams in the world, the Chelseas, the Liverpools, the Bayern Munichs, the Juventus. I mean, the biggest clubs in the world. And they don't care when comparing to playing for their country. Because this is the representing their people, their mom, their grandma, their tia, their aunt, their uncle, their kids, their family, their generations. Like, everyone on the island is backing this sport and this individual. And so when the WBC comes along, baseball is their biggest sport in the Caribbean. When you're talking about, you know, Venezuela, when you're talking about Cuba, when you're talking about Puerto Rico, when you're talking about the Dominican Republic, like, these countries live and die with baseball.
Dude, the only thing Puerto Rico might like more than baseball is beach volleyball and Bacardi.
And, like, and basketball.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Basketball too.
And basketball. And, like, volleyball. You know how many volleyball players they have in NCAA right now?
Yeah, right.
It's
crazy.
Insane.
They're all from Puerto Rico.
All from Puerto Rico. It is insane. But again, it's like they love these sports so much. But if they're asked, not just Puerto Rico, but any of these countries, if they're asked to represent for their homeland, and then especially in baseball, where, let's be very clear, not only are they representing their countries, but specifically with the WBC and Latin countries, there's bragging rights associated with it. Everyone knows how many Dominican players are in the Major League Baseball. Look at their team. Everyone knows how good Venezuela is. Team Puerto Rico didn't have the luxury of having Francisco Lindor, Javi Baez out there, right? But those guys care. Did you see the walk-off home run they had the other day? The players were crying. Let me put that in perspective. Team Puerto Rico, it was just round play, like group play against Panama. He hits a walk-off home run. They're playing, and I know you might smirk at it because you don't understand the significance of it, but they're playing Mark Anthony singing this song about Puerto Rico in the stands after the game. And the players are crying. Why? Because the entire stadium is singing this song, and it's for the island, for the country, everything they're going through. And all of a sudden, they're sitting atop and everybody's united. And that's what's happening with all these things. So yes, WBC is must-watch TV.
And even like some of like the game today with Panama and Colombia, I think if Colombia lost, they would have been eliminated altogether from it next year. Like, because there's relegations in the World Baseball Classic.
Oh, is there?
Too. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because there's other countries that'll get swapped in and out. So if you don't do well enough, it isn't just like you get a chill day. You got to play to make sure you don't get relegated.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. That's great information.
So Colombia and Panama today playing here, I think Colombia ended up winning. They avoid or stave off relegation.
I love that.
But like, that game meant something.
Of course. And what about the Chinese Taipei team?
Ooh, yeah.
Crying after a victory.
Dude. Yeah.
Like, this. Again.
In the Tokyo Dome, too. That's so cool.
I mean, again, if you don't understand the significance, just think about how much you love your country. That's what I'll say. Think about how much you love the USA. And then think about, you know, being able to represent that. And imagine if everyone in the USA was behind you.
Yeah, that's the cool thing, man. It's like the entire countries.
Right,
like that's all they're doing.
My sister's in Puerto Rico right now.
Yeah.
She is in Puerto Rico right now, two of my friends. One of my boys was at the Puerto Rico game last night. Send me videos from it, right? My sister's like, nothing's open during the game. On the whole island, everybody's watching. Like, think about that. If America just shut down during the World Baseball Classic, like, it wouldn't. But that's what I'm saying. We can't put it into perspective what it means to these countries, you know, in comparison to the United States. It's as if the Super Bowl was every day.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like, you saw some of the chants for, like, Team Japan. Like, they literally have chants for each individual player. Like, and it's a different chant for each player. It's wild.
It's so cool, too.
It just means something more. It's really cool.
All right, phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez here hanging out with you guys till 5 in the morning, passing it off to Dustin Rhodes, then, of course, Mully and Haw. They got a great show lined up for you. And so I want to make sure, wait a second. I just said some names, and these are the names. Oh, I said it from, these are old names.
You said the second time you got it right.
Okay, so Bruce Levine back again at 9.
He's at 9:25.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go. Don't read that board. I'll send you the right ones.
I'm gonna go check it out again. All right. In the meantime, I need some phone calls. 312-644-6767. Bears, first day of tampering and free agency. They got some names on the board. Which one excites you the most? Of all the names that are out there, which one got you hyped up for the season to come? 312-644-6767. Your call's on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez live and local right here on 104.3 The Score.
First and goal from the 7. Burrow, quick release, has it deflected. It's intercepted. And the Browns may have a chance for a pick 6. Bush, he's got a one man to beat. He's looking for Myles Garrett for some help. He got some help. And Devin Bush will score.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
And it is Gabe Ramirez here with you on 104.3 The Score. Hanging out till 5 in the morning. That's when Dustin Rhodes takes over with the pregame show. Handing it over to Mully and Haw. And I'll be filling in for Mully and Haw next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I think Thursday I'm on with Ruthie Polinsky. Is the schedule up yet?
Or yeah, I can take a look.
Does it say TBA on those dates? Because he didn't tell me who I'm working with. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it says TBA?
Still TBD. Yeah, it's
TBD. Sorry.
Yeah.
Is Ruthie on there for one of those days?
She's not. No, it just says your name.
It just says my name.
So it's Gabe.
Gabe in the morning.
I thought Gabe kind of carried the show.
He did. What a voice.
Oh, man. Love those clips. I will say this. It's going to be interesting. It's funny because, you know, on our show, The Chicago League. So Ruthie Polinsky was the host of the Big Pro Football Show. And then it was me, David Haw, and Cam Smith on The Chicago League. And then Cam Smith got bumped to go do Bulls pre and post to take over for Jason Goff. And then, shout out Jason Goff. And then Ruthie was like, I want to be the host of the Chicago League. And I was like, and I was there and I thought I was going to be the host of the Chicago League. I was like, wait, this is silly. You guys didn't have David and Ruthie back to back on two shows? That's weird. But she's actually been a really good addition to the show. And then the other difference is that, you know, we would, on the Chicago League, everyone hosted. So we all would throw it to different segments. You know, no, there was no host of the Chicago League. It was just everybody did. David would do it. I would do it. Cam would do it. And then when Ruthie came, she was like, I think I just want to be the person that's setting you guys up. And that way David and I are more the analysts on the show as opposed to like hosting and maneuvering it through. And I don't have zero problem because then I get to do less work, right? I have less driving to do during the show. I love it. And she actually does a great job of it. And it's just interesting because then we'll be on radio on Thursday and I'll be driving the show.
You're going to drive that
show.
Of
course I am.
Yeah, obviously.
Like, I don't think, no question.
I
don't think you're going to let Ruthie Polinsky
drive. What if she comes and sits in the captain chair?
She could. She's still not going to be driving
the show. Yeah, you're still going to drive that shit.
Still going to be driving the show. But no. I just, but it's just funny that you're like, oh, but it's like different skill sets, right? She's very good on TV, you know, with scripts and
Ruthie's great.
She's great. She's a TV personality. Yeah. Right? That's what she is. I'm a radio personality that does TV. It's different. She's a TV personality that's doing radio, so we get to change those days, and you get to hear that dynamic with two friends hanging out next week, Thursday, again, all next week, Wednesday through Friday, actually. I'll be filling in for the fellas, so make sure you check me out then. But right now, putting in the work. Somebody said, I told somebody the other day, they're like, why do they call you Chicago Gabe? I said, because I'll be grinding. Chicago is synonymous with grinding. I grind. Chicago Gabe. I don't live in Chicago anymore. It's like, I live on Austin in the 290. I try to tell people. If you're really from Chicago, and if I were to tell you that I live on Austin in the 290, you would not, like, shame me for not living in Chicago.
That's basically Chicago.
You mean the crackhead that was on the west side that was just walking through my backyard? And I was like, pretty much.
You're closer to the United Center than I am.
I tell people all the time. I'm like, where do you live? What? Irving Park in Pulaski? No, you're not allowed to tell me about what's Chicago and what's not. I live on Austin in 290. All right, Papa, I don't want to hear that. But let's go out to the phone lines because that's what this is for. All right. And I want to encourage you, if you're listening right now, phone lines are open. I'm ready to talk about Bears free agency. Dollar in the bucket if you talk about some Bulls because you know I love my Bulls. WBC on the table, Cubs, Sox, everything's open. This show is for you. So whatever's on your mind, please feel free to share it with us. Again, 312-644-6767. Let's go out to the phone lines. We got Darius out in Hammond. Darius, what do you do, baby? How's it going?
Hey, what's going on?
you know.
Yeah, late night. I'm one of the owls out here.
Let's go. My night owls. Yeah. Who? Let's go. Exactly. Woo-hoo. Who? Woo-hoo. All right. Talk to me. What you got? What you got on your mind, my little night owl?
Yeah. So I talk to my Auntie Nunu. Ooh. Every either Sunday or Monday, right?
She got
and she is still devastated about this Bulls trading everybody away.
Mm.
Yeah, and I've tried to explain it to her at least three or four times. Like,
what did you say? What did you say? What was your explanation?
They're doing what, you know, we're not supposed to be doing in the NBA, which is tanking.
Sinking. Sinking out of the play-in situation. But not necessarily tanking to get to the very bottom. And that would be illegal, by the way. So we're sinking. Look, Auntie Nunu, who was her favorite player? Like, who was she most devastated about?
You know, Kobe White. That was the one. She was like, no. And I actually met him one time. I was working for a company, and I did some stuff with BR Sports. It was this kind of promo, and I got to meet him. So, yeah, he was one of my favorites, too, of the new guys. So that one hurt me just as much as her.
Yeah, I mean.
So, I don't know how they.
Darius, I've been talking about my daughters, you know, all show pretty much. And my daughters were so sad that Kobe White was gone. Like, I had to explain. Like, it was my first time explaining to them that, like, people can play for different teams. You know what I'm saying? They thought Kobe White was going to be a Bull forever. And they loved his hair. They thought he was fun. And they thought that we were friends. And I lied and said yes. And so, like, oh, you know, because I work at the United Center. Like, Bobby, you friends with Kobe White? Yeah, why not? Sure, yeah. But so equally as devastated as Auntie Nunu when it came to that. But, I mean, it was the right thing to do, right? Don't you agree? Don't you think it was, I mean, it was the right thing to do for the Bulls?
I mean, absolutely. Every move they made was necessary. And the core that they're building right now, and what you said earlier, I would agree. You know, Sexton, we got to keep him. He's our point guard for sure. He's dominant. The things he was doing in Cleveland were starting level. And so that's our point guard. I think Giddey and Basulis are definitely our, you know, 2, 3, 4. They can kind of move around there. If we can get a nice center in the draft, that's like, I think our starting lineup is looking good.
Yeah, I think it is. I just think they're a couple years away. And it's just unfortunate that, I hate saying this too, because I'm a big fan of everybody, right? Like, I'm just a nice guy that wants to believe that whoever gets the job or whoever gets drafted is going to perform at their highest level. And, you know, AK, and we don't know whether his hands were tied or not, but it's like, you know, the Bulls could have done this a couple of years ago. And so now here we are having to wait another couple of years to see if the Bulls can get it right. And that's going to be the most difficult part for me, where it's like, I just want to watch good basketball. The NBA has had a different, here, listen to this, Darius. The NBA has had a different champion, I believe it's like the last 6 or 7 years. And so when you think about that parity, and to think that the Bulls can't take part in that, you know what I'm saying? Like, they can't even put their name in the hat when there's no dominant team. We've been watching the NBA where there's been a dominant team for decades. And now you get this NBA where, like, nobody really knows who the best team is anymore. And the Bulls can't even participate in it. It sucks. Okay.
I agree.
Oh, wow.
I agree.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not totally agree with you.
Yeah. I mean,
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So, like, how many times have we been the 10th or the 9th in the play-in tournament?
Oh, my God. Too many. It's frustrating. It's gotten to the point of frustration. But thanks for the call, Darius. I appreciate you. And you tell Auntie Nunu that don't. Oh, yeah. You got a Bears question, too? My bad. Come on back here, Darius.
I mean, like I said, night owl. Right now, all I'm doing is laundry. I'm sitting in the car right now taking a break with you.
Oh, I know. Darius, I know what you're doing in the car. Yeah, buddy. I tell my daughters I'm going to fix the door. That's what I say. They be like, Poppy, where are you going? I said, man, you know, the garage door needs some work. So I got to work on that thing. So, all right, Darius. I like it, though. You got to be focused. Yeah. You need something to help you focus. I get it.
Absolutely.
All right, give me that Bears question.
I want you to hear the light. But, yeah, so, as I said, I'm from Hammond.
Mm-hmm.
So we know what's going on with the Bears stadium, right?
True.
Well, we don't know yet. We don't know.
True.
But it seems like there's two options, you know, either Arlington Heights or right out here in Hammond and Wolf Lake.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to say is, you look and come out here to the Wolf Lake Hammond area, what's all right there? Now, if you look at some of the tickets that are going on at the Wolf Lake, stadium, or not even stadium, but outdoor, you know, venue, we got Jelly Roll coming through, you know, this summer. You know, we've had Nas come through a few years ago. We have Lil Wayne. That's big names. What else is out here? Horseshoe Casino. That's right, going to be right in the middle of it, right, where that stadium could go. And how easy is it to travel back and forth from anywhere in Chicago, hopping right on the Chicago Skyway? So, I mean, there's that. Now, you got the Arlington, right? You got to basically build everything out there. You could basically drop in the new Bears Stadium in Wolf Lake, and you'd be ready to go.
Listen, Darius, I love your enthusiasm. That's what I want. That's where I want to start. You know, I want to hit you with a positive. I love your enthusiasm, and if Hammond needed a spokesperson to talk about the beauties and joys of Hammond, you are him. You were the dude. I appreciate it, but you didn't sell me. Not even one iota. Like, for me, I'm like, nope. Jelly Roll, nope. Nas. I mean, Nas is dope, but like maybe 20 years ago, and the Horseshoe Casino, they got Rivers Casino. Arlington Heights and Displays are right next to each other. So there goes that one. And then building it, yes. You know how beautiful? Let me ask you this question, Darius. Let's take distance and everything out of it, right? Let's just talk about the two sites and what they're capable of. Do you think Hammond, right, and their dollars can build a better stadium district than Arlington Heights can?
No, they can't.
Okay.
But you know who can? The state of Indiana.
Fair. That's a great point. And that's why I said the state dollars, because that's what it's ultimately going to be. But okay, all right, I get it. I get the argument, and everybody that calls me from Hammond, they hate me because I'm just looking them in their eye and being like, the Bears aren't going to Hammond. Like, the Bears are going out into Heights. That's it. I get it. You want to make your case? It's just not happening. No one's going to let that happen. Not legislature, at least here in Illinois. They won't let it happen. Indiana's done a fantastic job of being used as a pawn, of being used as a leverage tool. Because, Darius, as you know, when you were getting your wife, maybe you had to, you know, some other girl was showing a little interest and your wife had to kick her to the curb because she's, you know, there's two people vying for your attention. And she had to go ahead and... She had to go ahead and take charge of the situation. And that's what's happening with the Bears. The Bears is Darius back when he was young. And Illinois is your wife. And they're like, look, fool, you ain't going nowhere. You're staying right here.
You want to hear something funny? I don't have a wife. Never have.
Oh.
No wife, no kids, buddy.
Oh, damn. Well, you know what you are then?
Yeah.
You know what you are then?
What?
Hammond, Indiana. Because you ain't gonna have none of it. Darius, I appreciate you, but you're not messing with you, man. You're not messing with you. I'm being a little selfish with my Bears and territorial. That's all. Just messing with you. But I appreciate the phone call, and I'm glad I can make your break a little bit better, and that you could hang out and chat with me. All right, Darius.
No problem, man. Thanks for the call.
Always, Darius. One of my favorite night owls, right there. Tapping in, and that's what we're doing here on the Overnight Show. Are you taking a break in the car? I almost said something. Are you taking a break in the car? You can call in. I wouldn't mind hearing from you. Lots of stuff going on today. I realized that, listen, my wife tells me this all the time. It's all about my tone. And I understand when I'm talking about this Bears Hammond situation that my tone might be a bit off-putting for people from Hammond, Indiana. And I get it, and I'm here trying to accept responsibility for that. But I want to be very clear. I have no ill will towards Hammond. I actually probably go to Horseshoe more than most. And so
gas is really cheaper out there too.
I contribute a lot of dollars to the state of Indiana in one way or another. Filling up my gas tank, buying tacos in East Chicago, Indiana. Like, I pay my fair share. And so, I do that. But I want you to be you know, like I would tell my wife, hear what I'm saying. Don't hear how I'm saying it. And what I'm saying is I love my Bears and I want them to stay in Illinois, right? I'm not saying that I hate Indiana. And I want, like I said, hear what I'm saying, not how I say it. And so, Darius, I appreciate you calling in, brother. You chatted me up. We're boys now. You know what I'm saying? So don't feel any type of way because I was trashing on Hammond a little bit or that notion that the Bears could go out there. I'm selfish. I don't want it to go to Indiana. I'm a Chicagoan, born and raised. And, you know, I'm sitting here on 670, to, or excuse me, on 104.3 to score in Chicago. And, yeah, I don't want it. And I hate that. I'll tell you my number one thing that I hate the most, not number one, top five thing I hate the most, is when people are like, it's 20 minutes from Chicago. Anybody from Chicago can get, talk to the, I grew up on the north side. Talk to my north siders. Talk to the people that live by the hip. Talk to the people that live by, oh my God, what's the one, Old Orchard, not Old Orchard, that's in Oak Brook. Which one's the one in by Skokie? Old Orchard. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Oak Brook Mall is out there. Old Orchard's by Skokie.
Yeah. Okay.
If you live by Skokie, you live by Old Orchard. If you live in Niles, you live in Des Plaines, you live in Norridge, you live in Northbrook, any of these damn suburbs, you live in Rogers Park, you live by Lane Tech, you live by Lakeview. Trying to get to Indiana is going to be a pain in the ass, right? Now, I get it. If you're talking to people that live, you know, off Archer Avenue, that live by Midway, yeah, sure. For them, it's going to be a hop, skip, and a jump, right? Like, fine. And even people that live downtown, they don't want to leave downtown. They don't want to go anywhere. They don't want to go to Arlington or in Indiana. So that's going to suck for them. Imagine what the Metro's going to look like trying to go out there on Sundays. So it's going to be inconvenient, but I'd rather be inconvenienced going out to Arlington Heights, keeping it there. But the Northwest side deserves it. I don't know if they deserve it, but it's a good place for it. You know what I'm saying? Like it's okay. It's
set up to allow more people to get to it. And like, I mean, the train station's already literally there. And like you said, there's going to be drunk trains and that'll happen. But that the infrastructure is there set up to actually accommodate multiple Bears fans. And right now, the way the setup is, it's not. I mean, it's ridiculous that we, you know, like to go to a Bears game, I would park either in McCormick Place and then wait there for 3 hours after a Bears game. Or like you park downtown and make the 20-minute trek through Grant Park to get over to, you know.
Yeah, because you can't catch an Uber over there.
No.
Uber zone's out.
Right. And you know, like, it's just a train of people walking through downtown. You can't drive through it.
I mean, the pro move, really, I mean, there's going to be a couple more seasons of Bears football at Soldier Field.
Sure.
The pro move is to park by Reggie's.
Yeah.
And then take the shuttle.
Yeah.
I mean, like, any bar that gives you a shuttle, you just park by the bar. Nobody's checking your receipts and whether or not you bought food from Reggie's. I did it two times. Like my second to last time I went to a Bears game, I definitely just got the Reggie's bus just to get out of there.
Yeah.
Just to get out of Soldier Field. Took me to the south side. And then I'm on Cermak and 22nd. And I'm like, oh, this is a perfect straight shot to get to my house. And I just like catch an Uber over there or get one drink at Reggie's. You know, just do something other than. And then because like the last game I went to was the Bears game against the Packers.
Yeah.
And I parked in this building, assuming that the shuttle was still there. But Kevin Warren decided not to pay that bill to inconvenience Bears fans more so they can create an uproar.
He's too busy looking at cranes.
Yeah, too busy looking at cranes. So I ended up having to walk all the way back here, which was a really great walk because you're drunk and you're like walking down Lakeshore
Drive.
After that
game too, right.
I didn't walk, I floated. I was on a cloud.
Yeah.
Literally.
That was insane.
Literally on a cloud.
But yeah, no, I mean, Arlington Heights is set up to do this way more than Indiana could possibly be. And at the same time, too, like, it's just goofy. Like, the Bears shouldn't be needing to leave Indiana. They purchased this land 4.5 years ago.
Look, do you want to know the only reason I'm on the score? Is because CHGO wanted me. Let me for real. I don't care. No, everybody's just like, Adam Hogue is the host of that show because I said no. It's the truth. It's not a funny joke. It's the truth. CHGO came to me. They handed me a contract. Said, here, we want you to be over here. And this is when CHGO was first starting. And I was leaving B96. And Mitch found out that I was approached with an offer. And Mitch was like, don't sign that. We'll take care of you over here. I said, okay. But why did they, Mitch didn't offer me a job beforehand. right? You have to have another person that you're dancing with. You see what I'm saying? So I bring that up only to say the Bears have Indiana there to be the leverage, right? You can't make somebody move unless you got somebody else there. When you got two jobs that want you, that's when you get paid the most. That's when you get the best deal. But if only one person wants you, talk to some free agents that are out there. Talk to Josh Giddey. It's a perfect example. When nobody wants you, you're left negotiating with yourself and the Bulls. And then they get the upper hand.
And then sometimes you did with Patrick Williams.
Right. Or you're Patrick Williams. They just
you
give you as much
yourself
money.
And you just give yourself more money.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break. Take some phone calls. Thoughts on the Bears free agency moves. A lot of big names coming over to Soldier Field for a couple more years. And I'm curious of the free agents. Kobe Bryant. You know, you got Devin Bush. You got a couple even of the Bears guys that they brought back. Anyone stand out to you? Anyone that's your favorite? Feel like moves the needle the most for you? And then, what do you feel like the Bears need to be focused on next? Because you have to have been disappointed that they didn't get either an edge rusher or a left tackle, even though they did re-sign Braxton Jones. Thoughts on Bears free agency? Also, we're talking baseball. Basketball, if you like. Dollar in the bucket. Won't talk long. But certainly talking Bears free agency. Want to hear what you got to say about that. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you till 5 o'clock. Your call's next. 312-644-6767. It's 104.3 The Score.